So I'm just going to pray first. Lord God, let all my words this morning and beyond be pleasing to you. May they reflect your heart towards us all in truth and love. May everybody here today and those who may hear these words later be open to being challenged in their thinking and with their current mindsets, and be set free of any limitations they have, knowingly or unknowingly, about the goodness of who you are. May they come to know the good plans that you have still for each of them, and know the miraculous healing power that is still alive, active, and available today. In Jesus' name, amen. So good morning. It's an absolute privilege and an honour to be able to share with you today what the Lord planned and purposed for me to be part of in going to Uganda, the Pearl of Africa. I went at the end of September, which was a long-awaited mission trip. So whilst it's difficult to share all the incredible, miraculous details of how God actually got me to the point of travelling to Uganda alone and back again, I do need to briefly highlight how it all started. So as a non-Christian, 15 years ago, I yelled out to God in my kitchen one day, in my moment of frustration, to prove to me that he was real. And he did, with a beautiful vision. I didn't know it was a vision at the time, but a beautiful picture appeared before my eyes. I was awake, I wasn't sleeping. And in that moment, I knew that something changed in my heart, that I could not deny that he was real, that Jesus was his son who died, rose again, and forgave all my sins. 2 months after that, I had another vision. God showed me walking on a dusty road, and I saw loads of smiley and excited black children. And I knew in that vision that I was called to spend time with them and to share God with them. When I came to out of that vision, again, I was awake in the day, but when I sort of came to my senses, I literally cried bucket loads because I thought that meant that God was calling me to go straight away somewhere and leave my then much younger children behind. As I composed myself, I then repented to him and said sorry, but that if he had called me to go somewhere, he would have to make it really, really clear that it was him and that yes, I would go. Because of lack of time today, I fast forward 15 years and come to the point where the Lord, since March of this year, has walked me through, step by step, to be leaving Norfolk, temporarily, thankfully, boarding a plane for nearly a 9-hour flight, alone, from Gatwick to Entebbe, Uganda, and then being met the other side by an English couple, Jane and Alaric, who are originally from Norfolk. They gave up, sold up everything under the instruction of the Lord and moved out to Uganda 4 years ago, although they had been facilitating the Christian ministry called First Love Global Ministries for the past 10 years. On arriving and sleeping briefly, the following day, I met the the rest of the team, 5 Ugandan people, all sharing their role within the team, things about their families and their struggles. But I could see the passion and the compassion that they had in being able to serve the Lord in their community. I was then able to pray with them because I had asked the Lord before leaving the UK, what word could I give this team to encourage them? And I shared that word with them. Shared that word over lunch and as we enjoyed birthday cake. So that's one of the legal guy actually of the team with cake smeared on his face. They make a big thing of birthdays in this team because many of them as young children and young adults didn't experience celebrating birthdays. So they make a big fuss of each other now, which is just wonderful. I found out very quickly that, as a visitor, that Ugandan people expect you to speak to them wherever you go. They expect you to bring a word from the Lord and pray for them in every setting. Uganda is predominantly a Christian country, and the people I encountered were so friendly, so hungry, literally, but also hungry for more of God, and also open to the power of the Holy Spirit. They are so expectant. The next morning, myself and some of the team visited 3 different schools where the ministry currently sponsored 10 children of different ages, providing school fees for them, uniforms, equipment, financial, emotional, and spiritual support, food, and in some cases, boarding fees for school. For some of the children, it is safer that they board at school rather than go back home where there is abusive and extreme poverty situations. I saw hundreds of children with smiley and excited faces. Most knew and spoke a little English and were willing to pray. It was truly a beautiful sight. Later that evening, I attended a spirit-led ladies' prayer group with 20 plus women, all expecting me to speak, give words of knowledge, and to pray for each of them. Something that I have never done on that scale before. Before I left the UK, I asked God what he wanted to say to this group of women. And so I was then able to share that with them. With the help of an interpreter, I was also able to give words of knowledge about difficulties with the left arm and lack of hearing. 3 women came forward with left arm pain and difficulties in mobility. And to be honest, I internally took a massive gulp. And I told God that as he had got me to Uganda, that he had better show up because I have no idea what I am doing. I laid hands on these precious women with their permission, commanded their pain to go, for mobility to be restored in Jesus' name. And no one was as much excited as me to see that by their faces and their moving around that something had happened. They were healed. Next, a very elderly lady who didn't speak English came up to the front, pointing to her ears. Again, I took a massive gulp. I'm like, okay, Lord, this is on you. This is nothing to do with me. I have no power, but you do. So I'm trusting that you are going to do something here. I laid hands on the lady's ears, prayed for healing to be restored in Jesus' name, and it was. More women came forward with headaches, back pains. Another lady had a very swollen cheek and had a mouth infection in her mouth. All were prayed for, all were healed. I did many whoop-whoops to the Lord and jumped up and down like an excited toddler, telling all these ladies to give praise to Jesus because he loves each one of them. He was interested whether it was a headache or whether it was loss of hearing. And he showed up because of their faith, their trust in him. And he showed up for me, thank goodness. All glory to God for his miraculous power. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is the same power that is in all of you and in me. I watched that lady with the swollen cheek, literally as I prayed, her cheek reduced back to normal size. It was incredible. That same lady gave her life to the Lord that evening and allowed him to come into her heart. Another lady, asked for a new name because her mum had abandoned her at 4 months old. Her sister and one of her aunts had both spoken to her and with different names, so she didn't know who she was. She felt she didn't know who she was. When my friend Jane prayed for her, gave her a new name, I remembered that in my notebook, that where I had jotted some things down from the Lord before I left the UK, that I had written in there from the Lord that someone would have a new name. I had forgotten to speak about that during my talk earlier that evening, but I was able to show the ladies in my writing, in my notebook, that no one else knew about, that God knew that was going to happen that night, that that lady was going to receive a new name and she would know who she is in him. Another day I was invited to a pastor's home to pray and prophesy for his family and some of his neighbours, which I did with the help of some of the team members. This is the family and neighbours that were prayed for, some of them. The Ugandans are very hospitable and generous people, even with the very little that they have. As we went to leave, the pastor grabbed hold of one of his live chickens, tied its feet up so it couldn't escape, and presented it to me as a gift. I can't even go past butchers in the UK without feeling queasy. And although I was trying to smile in this picture for the sake of these wonderful, generous people, I was mortified inside. All I kept thinking was, please keep this chicken. Please keep it and feed your children for the next week or so. KFC will never quite be the same. on another occasion, myself and some of the team made home visits to some of the poorer families in the local community, giving them food parcels and offering to pray with them. One lady, who had been a widow for 6 months with 5 young children, was in a terrible state of grieving for her late pastor husband, who had died suddenly. While praying in tongues, God gave me a word which I was feeling very apprehensive about sharing. But I did anyway, because I was more nervous of not honouring him. And the word was that she needed to forgive God for the death of her husband. He wasn't responsible for his death, but he had seen her tears. And that she now had had a hardened heart towards God, which was getting in the way of her grieving process. Crazily enough, I think, Ugandan people actually believe that the grieving process shouldn't really last more than a month. That after that time, you should pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get on with it. Obviously, we know this is different for everybody. As I prayed for this widow, she became emotional, and I believe the stronghold of the enemy was broken at that point. I was also privileged to be able to speak with a 19-year-old young man who at one point had lived on the streets for 3 years and had suffered greatly at the hands of others in very devastating ways. First Love Ministries had rescued him off the streets, had shown him true love, compassion, and continue today to mentor and support him. He is now sitting his high school exams, something quite miraculous for many Ugandan children. Many don't even make it past what we would call primary school. As a thank you to me, this young lad had retrieved a jackfruit from one of the trees around in a flat where he lives. He was grateful that I had come from the UK and had offered to pray with him. I also spoke at a local church about God's calling, provision and faithfulness, and helped serve at the monthly community feeding program for the vulnerable and very elderly in the community. Over 50 people came. At the end of the service, a very happy, very elderly lady thanked me for sharing. She held my hands and presented something into my hand. I knew, thank goodness, that it wasn't another live chicken, but I didn't know what it was. I just felt something. As she walked away, I very discreetly put whatever it was in my bag without looking. It wasn't until I had got back to the apartment where I was staying with Jane and Alaric that I remembered that I was given something. As I looked and unfolded it, it was a 1,000 Ugandan shilling note. As I showed this to Jane, she she explained to me that it was worth 20 pence in our money. But that, for that lady, would have been her monthly offering to the church. That she would have saved up all month to be able to give that. And on that particular day, she had decided to give that gift to me. A widow's mite, like one of the passages that we heard earlier from Marion. Talk about being heartbroken and humbled. As an 8-year-old, before I was placed in foster care with my siblings, I knew what it was like to go hungry, to not have enough. And yet this dear lady had sacrificed that note instead of using it to feed herself in that month. Not only that, but she had decided to give it to me. I struggled with that. God came in and healed my pain and my memories of lack as a small child. And he showed me that I was worth receiving that widow's mite that day and every day. At another church, I gave testimony and then led Sunday school outside in the hot sun for 2.5 hours. It was a wonderfully chaotic time. The Holy Spirit had led me to share about Daniel in the lion's den. And I facilitated a craft activity with 30 plus children, ranging from 2 years old up to 15. Some were street children, children who knew that on a Sunday, that was a place where they could come and receive some water and some food and hear the gospel. Drink, food, and sweets were even given to the children. They were hungry and very thirsty. Apparently, the craft of making a lion's mask would have been like us receiving a Christmas gift. It was so rare to them to be given anything, especially for them to enjoy making and be able to take something back to wherever they were then going to be staying. Their faces were very excited. On the next slide, you will see us all holding up, well, not all, some children left at different points. They came and went and came and went and, yeah. Jane, Alaric and myself had a day off from ministry, or so we thought, by visiting the nearby botanical gardens, where some of the original Tarzan film was filmed in the 1940s. That's me, short as I am, near the ground, and these great big vines were all around. Very perfect for Tarzan. We had a guide, a young man in his 20s, who told us about the plants and the trees and everything that was going on. Very informative. But during our break, he explained that he had one leg shorter than the other due to a motorbike accident 2 years previous. Some of you may remember that a year ago, while I was in at a church in Wyndham, I prayed for a gentleman who had one leg shorter than the other. and before my very eyes his leg grew. So on this occasion, I was so excited and up for praying again for this guy. The three of us prayed and literally watched this young man's leg grow an inch and a half. To test it out, he started running around. Apparently he liked running, and this was something he'd not really been able to do for the previous 2 years. Thank you, Jesus. On my last day, a local Christian school had invited Jane and I to attend their morning worship time at 8 a.m. Knowing that I would be expected to say something, I quickly inquired of the Lord of what he wanted me to share. He reminded me that he had got me to bring a couple of booklets, little children's booklets, storybook, Bible story booklets with me. I quickly flicked through and with the nudge of the Holy Spirit, stopped on a story which was about the parable of the sower. I knew this had to be God because I was thinking, what of all the messages you want me to share this? Not that there was anything wrong with that, but for young children, I barely understood the parable myself sometimes. I read out from that little storybook and was amazed to see that the children already knew the parable. The teachers increased and built on what I shared with the children by asking them questions and then rewarding them with some pencils that I had taken out with me that had scriptures written on the side. They were so excited. Not quite as excited as the headmaster, however, who was their pastor and their headmaster. He could not wrap his head around how the school was sharing the word of God with the children daily. And yet, when they wrote their different words and numbers, that they could have a pencil in their hand, which also was the word of God. He was just completely overwhelmed and grateful. I was so blessed to see the children knowing the word of God and praising him. There is so much more I could share about God's faithfulness. I knew he was with me every step of the way, in every moment of that trip. I felt it, I observed it, I had surrendered it all to him and then partnered with him in obedience in going. 2 weeks before I flew out, however, I had had a massive wobble. I cried out one of those really blubbering cries of distress and told God that although I had waited 15 years for this trip to happen, I was scared. I was scared to travel by myself. I didn't know what awaited me the other side. I didn't know about the expectations before I got there. I didn't know what he wanted me to do. And I had conjured up, probably with the help of the enemy, a ton of scenarios, of zillions of things that could go wrong. Would I come back? Would I make it there? In my moment of weakness and surrender, he met me. He scooped me up that evening and reassured me that I wouldn't be alone, that he had already gone ahead of me. He had brought in all the provision, and now he was not about to leave me. He promised to be with me every step of the way, now and always. His plans were good. They've always been good. His plans are not to harm me. They give me hope and a future. If you wish to ask me any questions later, please do so. If you would like me to pray for you, please ask any time. My trust and faith in Jesus has skyrocketed because of this trip. If you wish to donate to the work of First Love Global Ministries, please let me know. This last slide is me and Jane standing on the ground, the land that the ministry has been able to purchase. Foundations have already been laid, and they are hoping to raise enough funds to be able to build their own school, to be able to invite over 100 children from the local community to come and learn, have an education, but most of all, know more of the love of God for them. To see the poverty firsthand and hear the stories is heartbreaking. I am forever changed because of this trip. And although I don't know what my next steps might be, I know someone who does. So I'm trusting wholeheartedly in him that they will be good, that he will provide the details, the provision, and the timing. I hope you are encouraged by what I shared today, in that God is mightily at work in each of our lives. Sometimes we just need to pause and take a moment and inquire with him on what he is calling us to do, where he is calling us to put our hand, when and how. He's already gone ahead of all of us and is waiting for us to actually catch up with him, with his incredible and amazing good plans to help us to show those around us how much they are loved by him. And it's not just in Uganda. It's right here in Norfolk. Maybe you're not called to take that 9-hour flight. Maybe you are. Maybe you are called to step outside the front door and check on that neighbour and share the love of God with them. Amen.